Hey, it's 92.3 KTAR, and I am Rosie's special guest, Jim West. Good morning. Thank you for being here. We're talking about the Phoenix Sound, and thank you very much once again for having me and progressing along with the Phoenix Sound in the late 50s, 1958. There was a local gentleman here named Ted Newman who got a call one day from Jack Miller, who was the audio engineer at Audio Recorders, and he had a song that was called Plaything, that he was looking for somebody to do a demo on. So he called up his friend Ted Newman, who had done some commercial jingles here on the radio, and says, "Hey, I got this great song. Would you come down and record it?" Next thing he knows, it charts on the Billboard charts in 1958 and hits number 50 or 54, I believe, in the top 50. It was a top 50 record, now that I recall. And it was called Plaything.
Plaything, that's all I was to you. But now your little game is true. Play girl, stop knocking at my door. I'm not your plaything anymore. Your love was only make-believe. Some tricks you carried up your sleeve. I'm through.
Now, in the late 50s, what genre would this fall under?
We're calling kind of a rockabilly, rock and roll. Okay. Rock and roll was pretty big.
We were creating a genre, literally.
Yeah. I mean, because Duane Eddy told me at one time that they didn't really call it rockabilly at one point. Even Elvis didn't call it rockabilly. They called it hopped-up country music at one point.
Hopped-up
country music.
I love the backup singers.
Oh, yeah. Listen to this.
I'm not your plaything anymore.
So this was considered pop top 40 in the late 50s, and it was recorded in Phoenix. Interesting story, Pat Boone's brother recorded the same song version of this at the time, and was kind of racing up the charts with Ted Newman's version, but Ted had the bigger hit with it. But yeah, it was an incredible time back then.
Wow.
Some tricks.
Comes in to cut a promo for a friend.
Right, and ends up having a top 50 record on the charts. He even was on. He even got invited on Dick Clark's American Bandstand twice with this song. And, you know, as did Duane Eddy and other people as well. We're on Dick Clark's American Bandstand with all the music that was recorded here in Phoenix at one point. So,
and the book is specifically the twang and rockabilly music history in Arizona. So,
right.
So we're not going to have Hubcap and the Wheels in here.
No, right? Not necessarily. They came later with Pat McMahon and the company, of course.
On the Steve Allen TV show.
Exactly. Oh. There is a picture of Pat McMahon way in the back with Mike Condello. But,
okay, all right.
No Hubcap in there. This is basically a thumbnail sketch of the recording scene in Phoenix back in the 50s to 60s.
Won't be any Stevie Nicks. Any Alice Cooper.
No, not really.
Glenn
those folks came later.
And you chose people who charted.
The people that charted. And there's other people in there, too, that are more obscure names than some of the people that recorded at Audio Recorders. A lot of people went in with back then it was very inexpensive to record a demo at Audio Recorders. They can go
in there. It cost me 2 6 packs of beer.
There you go. Or cheaper than that back in the 50s. Probably.
That was in 1986.
Like $20 to go in and record. And then, you know, you get a little 45 back in the day. And if you were lucky, you might get some local airplay. And then maybe if you're even luckier, you're going to chart like these several people did that recorded in Phoenix.
Wow.
I guess they would go around and pass out. You had to physically go and to get in front of somebody and hand them the 45.
Well, a lot of them did, yeah. Then the early ones like The Fool and, of course, Duane Eddy had what they called bigger distribution with bigger record labels, Dot Records and Jamie Records and some of the bigger labels that had distribution around the country. In fact, Duane Eddy had hit records in all over the country, you know, with radio stations back in the day, so...
Man, and then we get to Ray Sharp, Al Casey, and then now those were all before my time,
right?
But
before
I remember,
sure,
Waylon Jennings.
Oh, of course we did. But we're going to go in chronological order, I believe, right?
We're going to get to Waylon,
right? Exactly.
But and like some of the what were some of the big venues there? Like when I in the 70s, you had Mr. Lucky's, you had JD's.
Celebrity Theater, was that in yet? Or
yeah,
no?
Yeah, it's Celebrity
63,
Theater.
63, I think that opened, yeah.
And we would go a lot of times to Handlebar J's.
That was opened a little bit later, but yeah. Back in this era, to answer your question, Rosie, they had venues like the Riverside Ballroom, down on South Central Avenue at the Salt River.
I don't remember that one.
And that lasted to the early 80s before they finally closed. But then you had Madison Square Garden. Then
I remember that building, but I never went there.
Other clubs like this Shiat's Ballroom on Central Avenue and Indian School, I understand, was a big big venue back then. Abel Hall, the Reynolds Aluminum Plant had a big performing arts place. There was another one called Sarge's Cowtown.
Where was that?
That's in the book, too. That was down in South Central right near the Riverside Ballroom. Okay. So there's all a real storied history of all these old venues, as well as the rock and rollers and the recording people and the country people, too. It's a whole melting pot of music that we had back in that era.
And so, what's the venue in Coolidge? Goose something?
Yeah, the Galloping Goose.
Yeah, Galloping Goose.
Yeah, the Galloping Goose. We'll get to that. That was a club that's been there since 1937. There's a picture of that in the book. It's still there today.
Wow.
You know, and it's been around for a long time. So definitely.
Now, we won't see anything of Andy Devine or Rex Allen. This isn't Arizona celebrities.
This is
just the rockabilly stars, and primarily from 57
on. And I spotlight all the people that were fairly well known. Now, I also put in the book, though, other people that started their career in Arizona that went on to big things in whatever genre they were in. Like I mentioned Alice Cooper like in one sentence.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I also mentioned Rex Allen because he was a big star.
Yeah.
And of course, Marty Robbins came out of Glendale.
Sure. Yeah.
And then Buck Owens, who I used to work for here locally at Country Music Radio, he started his career as a young man in Mesa, before he went on to Bakersfield, California, and major success as a country act. And of course, Waylon Jennings came along in 63, 64. Here to the Valley as well. And Waylon was a disc jockey at a local station here back in the early 60s called K-Hat, K-H-A-T, which was a big country station back in the day that was owned by a gentleman named Ray Odom, who was writing a book about his adventures back then as well.
He's writing the book now.
He's writing the book now, yeah. The man is 91 years old.
Wow.
And he's still doing well. But, so I basically spotlight the rockabilly and country people that were charting records in Phoenix back in the day at Audio Recorders. And then I also mention all the folks that kind of started their career in Arizona. I mentioned Linda Ronstadt. I mentioned Tanya Tucker, who started in Wilcox, Arizona. I mentioned Rex Allen. I mean, then I also even mentioned Dirks Bentley, who is a current country music act today. He's from Phoenix.
Yes, he is. His dad and my dad were good friends.
They're
really close friends.
Wonderful. So.
Last time I saw Dirk, as a matter of fact, was at my dad's funeral. okay, bring in Linda Louie.
Linda Lou.
Just like you would in the 60s.
This
bring
was recorded in 1958. A guy named Ray Sharp, who was from Texas originally, he got with Lee Hazelwood in the studio and recorded this little rockabilly gem that the Rolling Stones eventually did a cover version on back in the late, I guess in the 60s. But it's a song called Linda Lou from Ray Sharp.
That's a twang. A twang right there.
A little rockabilly there, a little rockabilly guitar break in the middle.
Ray Sharp,
yep.
The artist here.
He's the artist. He was a jazz musician originally. He's a jazz guitarist and musician, but he charted and, did well.
He's an Arizona boy.
Well, he grew up in Texas, but he's recorded here, and then that song did chart on the charts as well, you know. But, he had a lot of success. I think he's still living, as a matter of fact, and performing.
Listen to the cadence of this song.
Oh, yeah. It's a nice little guitar break coming up here, too. From now on, my roving days are through. And it's all because of that chick, Linda Lou.
Linda Lou, Linda Lou, tell me, what are you gonna do? Now, if you're not bobbing your head up and down right now,
what a way to
everybody
start your day
in this,
with a smile.
Everybody in the station down here is just kind of rocking their head, bobbing their head.
Here comes that guitar break I was talking about, I think. That was Al Casey, who we're going to talk about, who did the guitar work on that song.
That's pretty. That's really pretty.
A little rockabilly right there. And anyway, that's Ray Sharp and Lynn DeLue.
I could listen to the guitar.
Oh, me too.
I mean, I could. We will very often on the at the house just stack the deck with the CDs. Esteban, just
Load love Esteban,
and yeah, just listen to it for hours. Carlos Santana.
Oh yeah, definitely.
You know, oh man, the great string artist. So Ray Sharp, Linda Lou. Boy, we've been through Sanford Clark, Dwayne Eddy, Skip and Flip, Ted Newman, Ray Sharp, and then Al Casey, the guitar player right there we were just listening
to. Al Casey grew up in Phoenix. He was born in California, but he grew up here in Phoenix, went to high school here, became an incredible studio musician, ended up over in California, and not only did he play session work here at Ramsey's Audio Recorders behind almost everybody that recorded. I mean, he was the go-to guy for recording guitar work. But he also went on to L.A., to Los Angeles, and got on what they call the wrecking crew of studio musicians in the 60s. And he recorded guitar work for such songs as These Boots Are Made for Walking, Nancy Sinatra, that Lee Hazlewood wrote.
Okay.
Also, he was behind Good Vibrations, Beach Boys. He did a lot of work with Sinatra and Dean Martin, guitar work on their music, and also recorded with Harry Nilsson, Everybody's Talking About Me, did the guitar work on that song. So he was very well known as a studio musician. And then he lived in Phoenix for many years, and he passed away in 2006. But he also taught guitar lessons at Ziggy's music studio here back in the day for several years. But
Ziggy's was here a long time,
right?
It's
still here, as a matter of fact. It's still open over on 3rd Street near Thomas here in Phoenix, the Ziggy's Music Store.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, thank you.
The Stinger.
This is The Stinger from Al Casey, guitarist. You got me. It's the Stinger.
Are there vocals?
Oh, there's no vocals. It's an instrumental. That's just a sample of what he did. I mean, he recorded a whole bunch of great music and guitar stuff. And there's a saxophone in there as well.
Did he ever sing?
No, he wasn't much of a singer. Didn't sing that I'm aware of.
Just could play that guitar.
Yeah, he had his own combo at one time, the Al Casey combo, and he had a variety of different groups together. He even had a surfing song on the radio as well, called "Surfing Hootenanny."
Oh yeah!
So I mean that right there helps define the Phoenix sound right there. Kind of a rockabilly, rock and roll type beat, you know, with a little country twang in there.
And that's what we're talking about. The book Mr. Jim West wrote, "The Phoenix Sound." It's a history of twang and rockabilly music in Arizona. When we get back, we'll talk about how you not only can buy a copy, but how you can win a copy here in the next segment.